Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 11th day of August, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is God's Law or Chaos. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cymru Ambeth. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody coming on to the call is automatically muted until such time as you indicate you wish to speak. If you're on a computer, that's by clicking on the Ask Question button. If you're on a phone, it would be star 6. When you go into the queue, I answer the people that wish to speak in the order that I receive the signal that you want to say something. We do ask, of course, that if you do call in, that you watch your language. We have a mixed audience. And also, if there are other callers on the line, to be courteous and not talk on top of other people and give everybody a chance to speak. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and it's all together, pastordan.net. And we also have a daily mail page there that we recommend you check out from time to time. That's where I put the latest information I'm finding, and it's coming in hot and heavy right now, folks, because we're in the middle of something big, and I hope people understand that. Now, again, I'm going to give these greetings out in the three basic, or what I consider prime languages for the Anglo-Saxon Israelites of the day, which is French, Spanish, and German. I probably should add Italian in there as well, but yeah, I'm just learning, and so pronunciation's not going to be perfect, but it's the thought that counts. Ame parents français, bienvenue à l'appel. Okay, that's basically to my French cousins, welcome to the call. Amis parientes españoles, bienvenidos a la llamada. Same thing. To my Spanish cousins, welcome to the call. Zu meinen deutschen Verwandten, willkommen beim Anruf. Or Anruf, okay? Again, three primary language. Welcome to the call. So, again, today it is God's Law or Chaos. I think it's becoming quite apparent that we are in a worldwide upheaval, chaos all around us, total insanity. We've talked about that quote by Voltaire that says that anybody that can get you to believe absurdities can get you to commit atrocities. Now, a lot of people don't quite get the correlation there, but think about it. We are swimming in absurdities, okay? You've got people that are supposed to be experts who are giving you information that just does not coincide with logic or science or medicine or anything that we've known up until 2020. Okay, it's absurdities. Okay, they call it coronavirus. It's the flu. By any other name, it's still just the flu. The only thing different is the media, which is the propaganda arm of the beast system, is constantly pounding it into your head that it's something different, something to be afraid of, blah, blah, blah. It's not. It's the flu. And this concoction they call a virus, and it is, or a vaccine. It is not a vaccine. It is an experimental concoction, a serum, a toxic serum, with all kinds of adjuvants in there that can cause great harm, alter your DNA. And we have evidence in my own immediate circles, meaning friends, close friends, friends of the family, and my relatives. Just within that circle, we have people who are in otherwise great condition that are falling over dead. Now, they're claiming, as in my brother's best friend, that it was a heart attack in a young man in Miami. They're claiming it was possibly drug-related. They're not really sure. But they do mention, well, there were some signs of blood clotting and organ failure. Well, guess what? Side effects of this toxic serum that's untested, this experimental drug, is what? Formation of clots and organ failure. And heart attacks, as a matter of fact, okay? So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that these serums are causing a great deal of damage. And there's been a history of that, by the way. When you go and do the digging and you don't listen to the mainstream programming, but you actually go dig and get actual actuary tables and data from different health organizations, you find out that vaccines are of little to no effect anyway. They really are. Okay? And the other question you ought to ask, since we hope that the people listening to this program are true followers of Messiah and the God of the Bible, you have to ask yourself, man has been on this earth for a very long time. Mankind has. The white man, Adam, which in the Hebrew language means to show blood in the face, Adam, meaning to blush, that's the white man. So Adam, Adam, means to show blood in the face. So Adam has been on this earth about 7,000 years, that's all. And if you talk to anybody in archaeology and different sciences, they'll admit that there is no fossil record of a Caucasoid people that's older than about 7,000-8,000 years. Okay, they admit that. Kennewick Man up in Washington State, there's a mummified man they found here about 6-7 years ago up in along the Kennewick River in Washington State, very well preserved, and he is a Caucasoid. So in North America, between 7,000 and 8,000 years ago was a Caucasian male. And when they did a computer imaging of the skull and the remnants of this mummy, the computer image came out looking a lot like Patrick Stewart, who was the guy that played Captain Picard in the Star Trek series. Okay? So, again, history is quite different than what they're teaching us. We're getting all kinds of evidence that they've lied to us about almost everything. In fact, Pat Shannon, who's a friend of mine, wrote a book called Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie. If you've never read it, you ought to go to Amazon or wherever and get the book. It's called Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie by Pat Shannon. And Pat Shannon was a good friend and ran with F. Tupper Saucy, who's another, he's not with us any longer, but when he was on this earth and writing, he was one of the first people that I read that opened my eyes to the terrible things that were happening and some of the common sense things that we could do to fix it. In fact, the book that I first read of F. Tupper Saucy's was Miracle on Main Street, which was a very well-written book talking about economics and how we could easily fix the economic situation to where we wouldn't be under the tyranny of centralized bankers, but we would actually have freedom, financial freedom and money freedom away from these monsters called bankers, centralized bankers. And by the way, I'm going to remind you once again, since what we're witnessing in this world today is nothing short of a communist insurgency in the white nations of this earth, okay? That's what we're seeing. A communist insurgency, and it's hiding behind a fake medical emergency. So they knew they could not try to implement martial law, especially on the American people who are armed like no other people on earth. The American people would have rose up instantly. So what they have done is to get the people to acquiesce to this insurgency and martial law by hiding it under a fake medical emergency. Okay, so they're accomplishing everything they wanted to do by the communist playbook to bring about martial law and a communist takeover. The only difference is they found out that this works better than guns and bullets in the street like the Bolsheviks did to the Russians a little over 100 years ago. Okay, that was some nasty business, and with the history that we know now, the American people who are armed and much more aware of how communists work, we would have risen up and shot and killed most of them. But they figured it out that because of these things called televisions and flat screens, our people are pretty much brain dead today, and all they had to do is hide this insurgency behind a medical emergency, and guess what? Our people are rolling over like a bunch of little puppy dogs that you've trained, and come on, Fido, roll over, and that's what the American people are doing. It's unbelievable. And so are many of the other people on Earth. But you got to ask yourself, why is it that this virus focuses itself on white European nations more than any other? Okay, other nations are going along with it only because the central bankers also control them, but that's more for the show. Where they're really pushing the hardest is in the white Anglo-Saxon, Caucasian, Israelite nations of the world. Why would they focus on us? Because we are the people of the Bible, and we are the ones that stand in their way of world domination. It's as simple as that. If they can subdue the white race, and particularly the warriors of the white race who are the white men, if they can subdue us, then they've got everything else as a piece of cake. Because the Chinese will never resist. Look how long they've lived under that brutal dictatorship over there, and they haven't risen up yet. Okay, the Indians, the same thing. They've lived in abject poverty, most of them. They don't rise up either. So the Indians and Chinese represent the two largest populations on Earth, and most of them are sheep. They're not going to rise up, or they would have done it already, because they greatly outnumber their masters, and they could have went in and just hung all of them and freed themselves from dictatorial policies. But they haven't. But who are the typical racial element that will stand up and fight tyranny, even when they're outnumbered and against all odds? It's the white man. It's always been the white man. That's why Christianity was always called the white man's burden, because we carried the Bibles and the gospel. No other nation, no other race has done that in history. No, none of them. None of them. So the title today, God's Law or Chaos, is because back in the 1990s, I was working at a power plant in New Jersey. I came out of the post office and a guy had parked up by the front door. And as I got out of my car to go into the post office, I looked over and he had a bumper sticker, big yellow bumper sticker with black letters on it. And it said, God's Law or Chaos. And this was very close to the time when Ruby Ridge with Randy Weaver's family being murdered by marshals. And that whole thing went down, and Ruby Ridge, right after Ruby Ridge was the Branch Davidians, I believe. So it was about that time when this was going on, and so this bumper sticker caught my attention. I thought, wow, that's just a few words, but it says a lot. God's Law or Chaos. So I waited outside the post office until the man that owned the car came out. And when he did, he and I later became good friends, and as long as I worked there and all, he and I shared a lot of information. But his name was Frank. So when Frank came out, I introduced myself to him, and I said, excuse me, but I said, I noticed your bumper sticker. I said, that's some pretty wise words there. And we talked a little bit about the things that we saw happening clear back in the 1990s. And he said, so you like my bumper sticker, huh? And I said, yeah. And he said, do you want one? I said, well, sure. He said, where do you work? I told him, I said, well, I work out here at the power plant. He said, so do I. And I said, well, where do you work? And he told me, and it was very close to the same building I was working in. So he said, you come by my desk tomorrow, and I'll give you that bumper sticker and a few others. So, again, I went to his desk. He gave me two or three bumper stickers, but he also gave me three cassette tapes. And these cassette tapes were lectures by Pastor Pete Peters, who I got to meet in person years later. He ran Scriptures for America out of Colorado, And Pete is very charismatic, and these three tapes that taught God's law according to the identity message, and one of the tapes talked about the food laws. And I went home and I played those three tapes, and I never looked back. So that's the reason I wanted to bring that up. Something as simple as a bumper sticker on a car at a post office changed my life. Because once I listened to those tapes and I heard the identity message, I knew that it answered all of the biblical questions I'd ever had. All the years I was in the Methodist Church, the Assembly of God, all the times I visited Baptist churches, Lutheran, Presbyterian, and Catholic, I attended them all. And every time I asked a question, nobody could ever answer it. And this time, all my questions got answered. And so once again, a simple bumper sticker changed my life, which was the beginning of my journey down this road and what became known as By Yahweh's Design Ministries in 1999. And I've been on the radio ever since. And before 1999, I was attending actual gatherings and speaking to people at actual feast days and gatherings of patriots and believers in various areas, especially Michigan and New Jersey. So quite a journey. It's been, I've learned a lot. And then the other reason I wanted to pick God's Law or Chaos is because we're living in chaos right now, okay? And I don't know what it takes to wake people the hell up, but if you can't figure out today that we need to be under God's law and not man's law, there's something wrong with you. I'm just here to tell you, if you haven't figured that out, there's something wrong with you. Now, everybody that listens to this program, I would hope would be in the camp of those that realize that man's law does not work. In fact, you can go to the book of Peter. And I don't have the chapter and verse in front of me, but the Apostle Peter said that if it's a choice between God's law and man's law, you must choose God's law. Not man's law, God's law. And William Blackstone, who was one of the most famous jurists in Old England back in the 1600s, and he was taught, his Blackstone's commentaries was taught in all of the law schools of the colonies, and what became the United States. And William Blackstone said that any law that is created, whether it be in England or in the colonies, that was in contradiction to God's law was no law at all. Okay, now let that sink in. Any law created that is in contradiction to the law of God is no law at all. All, meaning it carries no weight. And anybody trying to enforce a law that goes against God's law is operating what they call under the color of law. In other words, having the appearance of being real law and trying to get you to believe that you must obey it when in fact it is not law at all. So if there's no real law for them, just like with these diapers, there's no law that requires you to wear a diaper. They cannot write it. Okay? They cannot. They have no authority in the name of God or in the name of legislation to force you to do something that will harm you. And wearing a diaper on your face all day long is harmful. Anybody with a brain can figure that out. Okay, every medical person knows you're not supposed to wear a mask all day long. Even in the hospitals, they don't wear masks all day long. They don't. They may be doing it right now because they're being forced to do something that's unnatural. But before this bullshit started, and I've got family that's nurses, so I know this is true, and I've been to the hospital many times with sick family, okay? You don't see nurses running around the hospital all day long with a mask on. Because they knew that's not healthy. So as soon as they got done looking at a patient that had an open wound, the mask went off, and it went into the hazardous material bin. Okay? So in an environment that actually has something that people might worry about, a used mask, even after only 10 or 15 minutes on a face, is put into the hazardous material container. And you've got people running around out here with them on their faces, and they're throwing them on the ground, putting them in their pockets, reusing them, and everything else. It's total insanity. Absolute insanity. So again, simple little things can make a pervasive change in a process. In my life, it was a bumper sticker on Frank's car. Changed my whole life. Opened up all the doors for me to go down, all the rabbit holes that answered the tough questions. Now, it hasn't been a fun ride. Why? Because people don't really want to change, and people don't typically like the truth. They like their perceptions. They like their illusions. And they basically, what the Bible says, they want their ears tickled. Meaning, tell me the things I like hearing. And a lot of believers want to be cafeteria Christians. They want to go through the Bible and pick out the verses they like and then just ignore all the rest of them. That's why when we get into the topic of the patriarchal family, I get a lot of pushback from people because, oh, Dan, that's just not the way it is today. I said, well, wait a minute. Look around you. We've got chaos today. Is the monogamy-only system working here? If it's the right way, why is it falling apart? Ask yourself. All right? What's it take to get through people's heads? We are living under man's law. It does not work. Wake the hell up. The same thing when we get talking about circumcision. Stop mutilating your baby boys. Stop it. I've had experts get on the show and give their testimony, the medical reasons why it shouldn't be done. They've given testimony of the trauma and why the damage emotionally to little boys, why it should not be done. And just like with this vaccine, what the hell is the purpose of putting this vaccine in your body? It doesn't change anything. Even if it did work, which it doesn't, but even if it did, they're not changing any of the measures that these communists are doing. So why would you do it? The same thing with circumcision. It does not improve anything. Why the hell are you doing it? Stop mutilating the boys. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've had a few of the ladies, and some of them are family members. The very first thing, they give me the emotional response. Oh, well, I like it. I said, well, what do you mean you like it? Well, I would prefer a circumcised man. I said, well, you're selfish then. Well, I don't think so. I said, yeah, you are. You're selfish. You're saying you like either the look or some other thing. Well, you know, because of the hygiene thing. I says, well, if a man has bad hygiene, what makes you think the circumcision is going to make some kind of difference here? I said, I think you're believing the propaganda. I said, I got another point for you. If you think circumcision is actually a good thing, in other words, taking and mutilating that perfectly healthy little boy that God created in his image with an intact equipment, you think that's a bad thing and needs to be fixed, when are you ladies going to go down and have it done to you? Boy, you want to see the reactions that gets. And the first thing, well, we're not boys. Why would we do it? I said, but you're built the exact same way a boy is. You have that very, very sensitive area, and it's covered with what? It's covered with what they call a hood. It's no different than the foreskin on a boy. It serves practically the same purpose. When are you going to get that cut off? Because if it's better for a boy to have it cut off, then why don't you go get yours cut off? Well, the very first thing they say is, that's ridiculous. Yeah, it is ridiculous. And doing it to a boy is ridiculous. And this whole concept that it somehow makes you closer to God, that's bullshit. I'm here to tell you that. You've been lied to yet again. Stop following these evil ways of your ancestors. How many times does the Bible say, stop doing what your ancestors did, worshiping false gods called medical institutions, government, television, mainstream propaganda news, all of these quacks and these charlatans that are getting you to do things that are against God's law. Stop it. It's not that hard to figure out if you just take the time and think about it. It's just like this whole COVID insanity. If you actually took the time to do a little bit of research and look up the figures, that's on the government websites, by the way, and you take a pencil and do some basic math, you can figure out they're lying to you. It's not hard. But they realize that because you never questioned anything the pastor told you, you just accepted all of his bullshit, and you went and changed your life based on the bullshit he told you, they knew that they had you. And then they tested you. They put some really ridiculous crap on television through the last probably 70 years. They put some really ridiculous things on radio and television, and they measured how you responded to it. And in recent years, they figured out that the population in general had been dumbed down enough that we can put some really ridiculous things on TV, and they'll believe it. And boy, were they right. And we're witnessing it right now. You are witnessing all the chips being on the table, ladies and gentlemen. The communists are ready for their takeover. That's why they're going to be unrelenting. It doesn't make a difference about mask wearing, vaccination, none of it. Those things are simply to indicate who the troublemakers are and who are the sheep that we can count on to do whatever we say, including get weapons and kill the unvaccinated, because the unvaccinated are the smart ones. And who did they kill in communist China and communist Russia when the Jewish Bolsheviks took over? The first people they lined up were the educated people, lawyers, teachers, professors, scientists, journalists, people who could figure out their bullshit. They lined them up against the wall and shot them. Right after that, they shot the people that turned traitor on their own people because they knew they couldn't trust them in the future because they might become traitors to the communists. So they shot them next. So all these military guys and police officers doing the work for the New World Order, don't worry about them. They'll be shot. They'll be taken care of because that's what Jews do. That's what communists do. They use people, they get them to do their dirty work, and then they shoot them because they can't trust them. And they also don't like to leave a witness. That's where a lot of these murders and stuff, when the Clintons in there, there's a whole book written about all the murders, mysterious murders of people when the Clintons were in power. Because why? You can't leave a witness. Vince Foster, all the rest of them, those two boys in Arkansas that were found on the railroad track, it's because they witnessed the drug deals going down in Mena, Arkansas, between Bill Clinton and George Bush. They can't leave loose ends, so they kill people. You don't really understand just how wicked and evil a system we're up against, do you? You haven't figured out yet that we're at war, and there are casualties. This is a war. Make no mistake about it. The Bible talked about this day coming, so did the Dead Sea Scrolls. It called it the war between the children of light and the children of darkness. It would be a great war. The book of Revelation talks about the great battle between the sons of God and the Antichrists. Okay, Antichrist just means against the Messiah or the anointed one. That brings up another point. You know, people talk about the second coming and they keep thinking that he's going to come down here looking like this picture that Hollywood puts out there, some guy in a white robe with wings and all this stuff. But what does Messiah mean? When he says the Messiah will return, Messiah, what does Messiah mean? It means the same thing as Christ, Christos in the Greek. And what does that mean? Same thing as Messiah. It means anointed. The anointed one. And again, I'm going to remind you, you need to go to Malachi chapter 4 and read it. It's a short chapter. Malachi chapter 4, you might want to read that verse too, where it says that I, the Father, Yahweh God, I don't do anything that I don't send the prophet to you first. He doesn't do anything to us by surprise. He sends a prophet first. And what's the mission of a prophet? The prophet represents God the Father to the people. That's the mission of the prophet. He represents the thoughts and desires of the Creator to his people. And Malachi says that the job of the prophet that will come before that great and terrible day of Yahweh, one of the hallmarks is he's going to restore the family. He says, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And I know it says the children to the fathers, but in the Septuagint, it says it turns the hearts of the brethren to each other. So the hearts of the father to his child and the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the men to each other. Brotherhood. Bring back the brother, because we're divided. We're divided in this nation and this world. Almost on every kind of aspect you can think of, sexes, ages, genders, you name it, social status, income, they got us racial, they got us divided on everything you can imagine. But he's going to send somebody in the form of an Elijah to turn your heads and try to get you to look at the things that are important in this life instead of this materialistic bullshit that we have out here. That's the life of the Antichrist folks. The merchants. In the book of Revelation, they're referred to as the merchants. And the merchants are drunk on the wine of the whore of Babylon. That's a biblical way of saying they're drunk on what? All the free money. Look at all this electronic money they create. Trillions of dollars. Do those dollars exist? No. Only in computers. It's digital. There's nothing stopping them from creating hundreds of trillions or quadrillions of dollars. It's in a computer, folks. It does not exist. They're buying up the world with digits from a computer because man has got to that point where he worships the beast and the delicacies of the great whore. New cars, new stereos, new computers, new cell phones, the newest fashions, going to the sporting events, you name it. Our people are drunk on all of the delicacies of the whore of Babylon. So again, what we call the identity message, why is it important? Because identity simply means that we correctly identify who's who in the zoo. If you don't know who's who in the Bible, then you can't read the Bible properly. And no, it was not written to everybody on earth. Go read James 1:1. That's the first place I go in any new translation I pick up. And some of them are terrible. I bought two of them just to keep here to show people how butchered some of the English Bibles are. One of them's called The Book, and the other one's called God's Word. And I bought them just so I could keep them on my shelf and show people that some of these English translations are an absolute lie. And how do you know? You go to James 1:1, because it's supposed to say that James to the dispersed tribes of Israel, Jacob Israel is a people. It's not a country. It's a people, us, Caucasian Israelites, as we traveled. And we went through the Caucasus Mountains, and after that, instead of being called Israelites, we were called Caucasians. It's really not that hard. It's kind of funny. That's when I was about 30 years old, I started asking people, why the hell are we called Caucasian? You know, I've always wondered about that. In school, they had me put Caucasian on there, but nobody in all the schooling I had and all of the church and Sunday school class I went, nobody ever could answer that question. Why are we called Caucasians? Until I learned identity and the traveling of the Israelites when they left the Persian captivity and they traveled through the mountains, the Caucasus Mountains in the current country of Georgia, in southern Russia, And there's a pass to this day through those mountains called the Pass of Israel, which is a people. Again, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. It's a people. It's not a country. Never was. It's a people. And when our tribesmen fled the Persians and the captivity and the enslavement, etc., they went through the Pass of Israel, and from that point on, they were known as Caucasians. Now, I notice today they don't want you to use that. Why? Because people are starting to pay attention. Some folks are. They're starting to question things just like I did when I was a teenager. You know, why are you doing that? And again, I used to ask questions like, why does the Bible say thou shalt not kill? That doesn't make sense. Because the Bible tells us to execute criminals. If I catch a man raping a woman, I'm supposed to put him on trial and execute him. If I catch a man committing kidnapping, pedophilia, or murder, we're supposed to execute him, which means what? Kill him. It wasn't until years later when I was in my 30s, I got a concordance. I looked it up and I said, oh my God, now I know why. That's not what it says. It says thou shalt not commit murder. Now, a lot of people don't even question. Well, isn't that the same thing? No, it's not. Murder is shedding innocent blood. Well, a rapist isn't innocent. A pedophile is not innocent. A kidnapper is not innocent. A person that commits treason is not innocent. They've committed crimes worthy of death. So when you kill them, that's not murder. That's simply executing them. If you break into my house and I blow you away, that's not murder. You broke the law. You trespassed on my home with evil intent. You have no rights. As soon as you cross my threshold, you have no rights. Period. Again, why do you want to live in chaos, ladies and gentlemen? I just found out tonight, a neighbor in our neighborhood had their whole family in an SUV, I think it was an Explorer, just the other night down here in southern Florida, and they got hit by a dump truck. And the dump truck driver apparently fell asleep. It hit the car and flipped it. One of the ladies inside was killed. The neighbor down the street has scars up and down her arms and other bruises. One of the children got severely hurt. Several other adults were severely hurt. So we have a death and serious injuries, totaled the car. And they were given by the court system $20,000 to cover their losses. Can you say corruption somewhere? Like, the driver knows somebody, or the company he's driving for is part of the guys with small hats. How in the hell can you ruin a person's car, do that much damage to that many children and adults, and kill one of them, and the award by the courts is $20,000 to cover everything? That's corruption, ladies and gentlemen, whereas God's law would not allow people to get away with things like that. Okay, if there's homicide involved, somebody's going to pay. And you talk about crime like rape. Do you think rape would be a problem if we did to the rapist what God's law says to do, which means take them outside and hang them? No, you wouldn't have much rape. Do you think we'd have much murder if we took the murderers outside and we hung them in the courtyard like you're supposed to do? No, you wouldn't. Would we have a lot of treason in the country? No, you wouldn't. And if we had people lying on the witness stand, and the Bible says if it's a capital case, the people that are lying on the witness stand are to be executed. So if you got a woman there, and she takes an oath, and she testifies that, yes, he raped me, and you find out it's a lie, she is supposed to be executed. Do you think we'd have many false cases of rape being charged if that were the case? I'm guaranteeing you, no. Or how about the police officers or people in the military take it to stand, swear to tell the truth, but they lie. And they were taken outside and hung. Do you think we'd have very many police officers laughing and lying on the witness stand like they do today? Or judges or lawyers or prosecutors? Do you think we'd have a lot of treason in our state and federal government if we took these Congress critters out and hung them in trees when they commit treason or lie to us, they can make a law that says it's okay to lie, which your Congress people did do, by the way. But God's law doesn't care about what these assholes do. When you perjure yourself, that's a crime. Perjury is a crime. You cannot write a law that says that you can get away with a crime. Corporations are a violation of God's law. Did you know that? Because the whole idea behind a corporation is you have limited liability. Where does the Bible say a man can write a piece of paper and get out of committing crimes, such as pharmaceutical companies putting out poisons that are killing people, but they are not allowed to be sued? That is against God's law. So when are the people going to say, I want God's law? I'm tired of man's law. Let's set it up the way the Bible says. Let's have a biblical, righteous monarchy running under God's law, exactly like King Alfred did in the Middle Ages in England. He was considered one of the greatest kings ever in England. Peace and prosperity. And all he did was codify the Old Testament into English law. That's all he had to do. Took a copy of the Old Testament, put it in the new, in the language of the day, and codified it and made it the law of the land. And they had one of the most prosperous periods in the history of England under King Alfred. Okay? If it worked then, why wouldn't it work now? What's wrong with you people? Why do you listen to these assholes that we need to have this three branches of government that are all corrupt? Every one of these branches is corrupt as hell. You don't have justice anymore. You don't have a proper legislature and the executive branch. They're all criminals. At the state level, the same thing. They're all criminals. You know, it's insanity to do the same thing over and over, but expect a different result. You do realize that, right? When you do the same thing over and over and over, but you think you're going to get a different result, that's a form of insanity. So collectively, the people on this earth are insane, especially here in the United States, completely insane. They do the same shit over and over and over, but they think you're going to get a different result. We're going to elect a Republican this time. That'll fix it. And nothing gets changed. Well, we're going to elect a Democrat this time. That'll fix it. Nothing gets changed. We're going to elect a black man in there. We're going to show you how progressive we are. We're going to let a Jew in there or a black man. That'll make it better. Well, it didn't get better. Now, pretty soon, we're going to see a woman in there, and things are really going to go to hell. And yeah, I'm going to step on toes. Ladies, I'm sorry, but your job is not to be leaders. I'm sorry, it's not. Your job is not to be in my government. Your job is not to be in my military. And your job is not to be in law enforcement. We got to stop calling it law enforcement. Your job is not to be a peace officer. Scrap that whole law enforcement thing. That's a concept of the Zionists that came out around the 1980s and 90s. It came out about the same time that you went from being an employee to a human resource. Because to these Talmudic monsters, that's what you and I are. Human resources. No different than the farmer with his cattle in the fields. They are his resources. And you, ladies and gentlemen, are the resources for these rich Zionist bankers that are going to take over. Because they invented communism for exactly what's happening. It wasn't an uprising where communism, it was the elite bankers came up with communism as a way to control the people. They invented it. And it's exactly what's happening. You are being herded through propaganda, fear, and intimidation, just like a herd of cattle. And it's not, they're herding you to go to the slaughterhouse. And I got another thing to let you know about. Those people standing behind the pulpit, they're prostitutes, okay? They're actually leading the sheep to the slaughterhouse. Yeah, those people with robes on, sitting in those nice whitewashed buildings, in those cathedrals, they are whores leading the sheep to the slaughter. Because they're part of the beast system. The preachers, the priests and the pastors today in the mainstream denominations are prostitutes and traitors to their flocks. Sorry. Truth hurts, doesn't it? So again, you want to learn what's going on and you want to learn how to interpret Scripture, you better find out how to determine who the various letters and books were written to. If you can't figure that out, you're never going to figure out what it really means. We've also reached a point, basically a tipping point in this whole episode, to where you have to pick sides, ladies and gentlemen. You got to pick sides. It's a little bit like we've talked about that in Scripture. I could pull the Scripture in the Old Testament where it's talking about in the latter days when seven women would take a hold of one man and take away my reproach. Okay, you have to understand what's going on. First of all, that's talking about a period of time when there's very few men left. And I think it's a pretty widely accepted opinion, let's say, today, or observation today, that we really don't have a hell of a lot of men left. So there are plenty of ladies out there looking for leadership, looking for real men who are lions, and what they're finding out, there's just not many of them out there. At least that's what I'm hearing every day. I've been hearing that for years. And I'm hearing it from men, too. It's not just the ladies that are complaining about it. Other men are complaining about it. Where the hell are the men? Where are the lions? Why am I out here all by myself? Because we have lost that. Because of programming, because of the food and diet, because of things like vaccines and fluoride and chloride and all these different poisons and things that they're doing. They're poisoning our minds, they're poisoning our bodies. I remember years ago, a friend of mine in California had I think he was a professor or a doctor, came from South Africa to visit the United States. And when he got off the plane, he met my friend at the airport, and he got off the plane, he met him, and he said, "What the hell happened in the United States?" And he said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Your men, they're so effeminate." This was years ago. He said, they're effeminate. My brother went to a job in Austria. This was over a decade ago. It might even have been 2 decades ago. He went to a job in Austria, and I was talking to him when he got back home, and he said something very similar. He says, "My gosh, the men are effeminate." Well, that's what you get, again, when you poison them with the minds through programming and television and the poison in the pulpit, also the poisons of the diet. And what else have they done? They've broken up the home. So many boys are raised by what? Moms, not dads. Dad's not there anymore. It's just mom. So they get what? They get a female's perspective. Now, my dad was home, but he worked a lot. So I didn't see my dad a lot when I was a boy on the farm. Because he worked a day job, and then when he came home, he did the farm work, and so he spent most of his time out in the barn and in the fields, and then it was time to go to bed and start the whole thing up the next day. So there wasn't a lot of interaction there. There was some, thank God, but not a lot. So I got to go to church with mom, and the church was full of a bunch of women. There were some men there, but mostly the women. So I grew up being presented with the female point of view. And why am I bringing that up? Because that's part of what caused my relationship problems in my younger years. Because I was constantly hearing what women wanted instead of what men want. Nobody ever told me that men should sit down and figure out what their mission is in life in honor of the Father, and then choose the ladies to help you accomplish the mission. That's God's plan. You are a son of the Most High. You figure out what the hell it is you're supposed to do on this earth. Until you figure that out, you shouldn't even be thinking about a woman. Facts are facts. Sorry, guys. I know the testosterone levels make you think otherwise, but facts are facts. You need to figure out what the hell your mission is first and how you plan to accomplish it. And then that's the criteria on what women suit you to accomplish the task. That's the way it's supposed to work. what they've done through Hollywood and novels and periodicals and all, they've got everybody brainwashed into this feel-good thing that's going on today, and it's not working. It's not working. We got way too many people hooked up with people they shouldn't be hooked up with. I'm hearing about it all the time. Friends, family, associates, you name it. And years ago when I started looking into this, not only for my issues, but so many of the people that I was talking to and trying to help, it made me do the digging and look for the scriptural answer, but also the common sense answer. And I begin to figure out, like everything else in this world, we have veered off the track of what the Father wanted us to do, completely veered off the track. So I started reading history books that covered what was life like for men and women all through the various periods of history. Guess what? No time in history did our people live like we do today. No time in history, whether it's biblical, Middle Ages, or whatever. No time in history did we ever do it the way we're doing it now. And people might say, well, Dan, that was those days. It doesn't make any difference today. Well, I got news for you. It worked for those people for thousands of years, or else you and I wouldn't be here. So maybe, just maybe, they knew something we don't know. We like to think we're so damn smart, but I got to tell you, we've forgotten more than they knew. They have forgotten more than we know. We think we're smart. We think we're progressive. We think we got all this high-tech shit. I'm going to tell you, the people in ancient times had stuff that could walk circles around us. And I'll give you a good case in point. Go look at the great pyramids around this earth, not just the three of them in Giza, Egypt. Okay, that's the three that you always think about. But there's great pyramids just as big and just as fantastic all over the earth. Very similar pyramids built by our people. And guess what? We can't build them today. Did you ever read about that? We cannot, with all of our modern machinery, we can't duplicate the Great Pyramid of Giza. Okay? We can't do it. Okay, I just got a couple notes there, excuse me. So what's going on today? Why is there a big push for everybody to get vaccinated? Well, the evil ones, of course, want you to show submission. Number one, they want to ruin your DNA so that you're no longer completely human, that you have separated yourself from the Father because you have altered his programming at the cellular level. You did that voluntarily. And you have tracking material put into your body for the beast system. That's why they want it. Now, why is the Father allowing these antichrists to do this to you? Think about it now. Why is our Father in heaven, who loves us, why is it his plan to put us into this test? Because that's what it is, a test. Doesn't the scripture say that you are to worship the Father even unto death? Okay? And what does it take to get our people to go along with the beast system? Just threaten their paycheck. Threaten their bonus. I saw people in the powerhouse do things that were unbelievable. Why? Because it threatened their bonus. It didn't even threaten their job or their normal paycheck, but it impacted their bonus check. That's how far we've gone down the path. So we have gone from people that would rather die than to worship the beast. They would rather die in good graces with the Almighty. We've gone from those people to where all you have to do is call them a bad name, shame them, or threaten them financially in some way, and they put the poison in them. They put the poison in them. And then they go around and go, well, what can you do to help me get it out of me? I just got a note from a holistic lady that lives here in Florida saying that she's had it because she keeps getting contacted by people. They don't want to fight back. They don't want to resist. And then they're going to people like her for what can you do to stop this poison from hurting me? And she said, I'm done. I feel like I'm helping the enemy. And yes, we are. We are. These people don't seem to understand that we're in this pickle because people don't say no. They don't push back. Some of us have never put a diaper on our face yet. I have yet to put a diaper on my face. And yet, if you listen to everybody else out there, they'll say that's impossible. No, it's not impossible. First of all, I challenged the people that tried to make me wear it, and I won. In the times that I challenged like Walmart and BJ's, which is a lot like Costco, when I went in there, the manager came over, and I had him call the legal department, and I said, you need to ask the legal department whether or not you want to get sued. I said, first of all, ask them if they want to be sued, and then you ask them if they have legal standing to force me to do this. Every time they said no and have a good day, okay? But how many people challenged them? Almost none. I told you about the other day, I went up here to the local post office. I haven't been to the post office in over a year. So I went to the post office. I just wanted to see what would happen. I walked in. I didn't have a diaper on my face. I didn't stand on the little squares. I didn't try to keep away from anybody. I never put on a diaper. I stood in line, I went up to the counter, I had my package weighed, I paid for it, it got shipped out, have a nice day, and I walked out. Not one word was said to me. You know what the funny thing was? I was the only person in the post office without a diaper on their face. Even though in Florida the mandates had been lifted, even though common sense would tell you not to put one on anyway, and yet, even with the mandates lifted, the sheep still put the thing on their face rather than take a chance on somebody yelling at them or trying to make them feel bad. That's how much of a cowardly race of people and cowardly people in general we've become. We can't even challenge clerks in a grocery store or in a post office. They're having you do things that are harmful to your health and to your child's health, and you don't push back. You don't even try. That's been my biggest embarrassment with my friends and family and the people I go out with. I walk into the restaurant or I walk into the store, and I just look at them. Why are you putting it on? They start putting it on before we even get to the front door. In other words, nobody told them anything. They start putting it on. I said, why can't you follow me in and do what I'm doing? Why can't you have my back? So they put it in their pocket, and guess what? Nobody said bullshit to us. Nobody said anything to us. So they were going to wear it into the restaurant when they didn't even have to. And these are people with high IQs. What's wrong with our people? What the hell is wrong with us? You got no fight left in you? Do you love life so much that you're willing to become something that you should never have been simply to get a few more days on this earth? Is it that precious? That you would give up what makes you human, what makes you a man in the image of the Almighty God, that was given liberty at birth? That's a birthright, ladies and gentlemen. Your liberty, your freedom is a birthright. Nobody can take that away by a piece of paper. Nobody. Your health is your business. Your children belong to you. And you're letting people in three-piece suits who call themselves bureaucrats and politicians cause you to do harm to you and your family and to destroy your liberties and destroy your nation and to subject you to a communist takeover. You're allowing that to happen without even a fight. It's amazing. From where I'm sitting, I'm dumbfounded, to be honest with you. I'm dumbfounded. I'm honored that people like to refer to me as Commander Dan. Obviously, I'm not really a commander. Okay, I got no army. I don't even have a militia unit out here. I wish I did, but I don't. I've got some men in the Crime Watch group that work with me, but I don't have any army. One of the listeners, Jimmy, out there, told me one day, he said, Dan, you ought to call yourself commander instead of pastor, because when people hear pastor, they think you're going to never swear and you're going to have this pious attitude and do nothing but talk about Jesus, and we just all need Jesus and to be saved. You know, we got to save souls out there. I said, well, you know, you have a point. If people get that impression with the title of pastor, then maybe I should stop using it and just say commander. Because I know in the Aramaic language, they had a word that can be interpreted either commander, pastor, or leader. We have three English words. They had one. The one word meant simply a leader. Okay? Because I've had people say, well, you're not a commander, and why are you calling yourself? I called myself that because one of my listeners suggested it, and I thought it was a good idea, mostly because I wanted to get away from the idea of a pastor, because you people are brainwashed. You're brainwashed by television, by the things you read, stories and movies. You've got this whole notion in your head, and it's so far from the truth, you wouldn't know if it hit you upside the head. You're so far off the track, it's unbelievable. Our Heavenly Father's rules and regulations of what He wants for us in this life are simple. They are so simple, a child could understand it. And you make it complicated. It's not complicated. Man comes up with all these rules and regulations. That's why I love to rail against the Roman Catholic Church. It is the best example of what not to do. Everything about the Catholic Church is anti-Christ. Everything. Yeshua, when he walked the earth, he dressed in modest clothing. Do the Roman Catholic priests and bishops and cardinals have modest clothing? No, they don't. They worship a man and call him the vicar of Christ. And yet, the Bible says to worship no man. You have a Father who's in heaven. And the fact that it says you're not to call any man on earth father. What do the Catholics call the priest? Father. The Bible says that men who represent Yahweh on earth should be married and have children. The Catholic Church says priests have to be celibate, and so do the nuns. See what I'm saying? Completely opposite. Completely opposite. You can almost see why in years past, especially overseas in Europe and everything, there were wars between the Protestants and the Catholics. They're completely opposite. Now, the Protestants today, they got a lot of things wrong, too. Don't get me wrong. Protestant churches, they're almost as bad as the Catholic Church today. They've got heresy and wrong teaching like no tomorrow. Sooner or later, folks, you got to figure this thing out. Sooner or later, you got to realize it's not rocket science. Yahweh expects you to obey some simple set of rules that simply is for your benefit. No different than dad and mom when they have rules for the children. It's for the benefit. It's not to make your life miserable. He's trying to make your life successful. But you want to rebel. Constantly. And how do I know that? Because when I go to different gatherings or I do these shows, there's people that want to argue when you simply present the basic things that the Father wants us to do. They have all kinds of excuses of why they want to stay with the broken system. Well, that's what my family's done for generations, Dan. Okay, is it working? Well, no. Well, then do you think you might want to try the other way? Oh, no, it's tradition, Dan. Okay, well, stay with your tradition then, and the failures and the heartache and the misery. There's a better way. It's why he said, when he said, I come as the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the what? Life. That's why he said it. You do it my way, you'll be happy and you have life. You do it the world's way, it's misery and death. Choose. Choose, folks. It's not that hard. I have noticed one thing. People are starting to realize that the mainstream media is completely bankrupt of any truth or honesty or integrity. Completely. So if you're watching that, shame on you. Utter shame on you. Personally, if you're watching television or Talmud vision, shame on you. It's nothing but pure 100% bullshit and propaganda. 100%. And here's the other thing I've learned. If people are watching that tube, you will probably never get to them. You will never reach them with the logic and the truths that we're talking about, ever. They are brainwashed. Do you ever notice when you go into a house and there's a television that's on and you're trying to have a conversation with somebody in the room, their eyes are constantly going over to watch that screen? Even though you're supposed to be in a direct one-on-one conversation, their eyes and some of their attention be constantly drawn to that damn box. It's like a tractor beam on them. And it's done intentionally. Okay? You got to remember, the money and the brains behind television and in radio, too, in the beginning, but certainly television, was done by who? The propagandists, the New World Order, the military. They knew what they were doing. They didn't invent this thing to better us. They invented it and they got them cheaper and cheaper and cheaper and more high tech so that you'll put not just one, like when I was a boy, one television in a house. You got a television in every room. Now you can't even get away from them when you go to the bar. You go into a bar and there'll be 15, 20 of the bastards up on the wall. And then I go into the workplace in the last few years when I was working, and in the hallways at work, in every one of the meeting rooms, there's a goddamn television in it, blaring the latest propaganda. My daughter told me in the hospital she works in, the same thing there in the waiting room, propaganda machines, and they were always tuned into the same stations, CNN, MSNBC, etc., all of the communist news networks. Blaring their bullshit. Blaring, blaring, blaring. Sheep sitting there. Buh. Tell me more lies. Buh. Tickle my ears, please. I don't want to know the truth. I want to be lied to, please. I go down to that church because I love them, their lies. So why don't you tell me more lies while I'm sitting in my living room watching that black evil box? I don't want truth. I want to be lied to. Well, the beast says, I'll dish it out to you. If that's what you want, that's what I'll make sure you get. The other thing I want you to understand, since I read stuff from the John Birch Society from the 1990s and on, actually I started in the 1980s, a lot of the Jew media used to put down the John Birch Society. And when I started reading their books, I thought, these books are pretty sharp. These books are very anti-communist. Why is the media and the schools and different people, why are they always putting down people in the John Birch Society? And they called them Birchers. Okay, you see how propaganda works? Oh, you must be a Bircher. I looked up the history of John Birch. He was a soldier. He was killed by the Chinese communists. That's an honorable man. He was anti-communist. He wanted to free the Chinese people up from the Bolshevik communists that were taking over China like they did Russia. He died in that cause. So why are you denigrating people in the John Birch Society? Well, I found out why. Because they were exposing this whole regime and how they operate. And one of the things they said about a communist manifesto, everything in the communist manifesto, by the way, is in your country right now. Every single plank of the communist manifesto is in the United States and Canada right now. Every plank. And one of the things they were going to do when it was time to take over is shut down travel. Shut down travel so that you can't get away and to get you cornered so that you can be better taken over. That's what they're doing, aren't they? Everything the communists needed to do fit perfectly with this fake medical martial law. Everything they wanted to do. And you are letting them do it. All they had to do was hide it behind a fake medical emergency, and they're getting away with every single thing they wanted to do. Everything they wanted to do. Where's the militia? That's what I keep saying. Where is the militia? Where are the honest, true constitutional sheriffs? Because they are our heads of the militia at the county level. The good ones, not the guys that go along with the charade. I'm talking about the real sheriffs. Remember, the word sheriff comes from Shire Reef, Old England in the Shires, and the Reef was the chief magistrate, and it was his job to keep law and order and peace and to settle disputes. So he was a highly respected and powerful man at the Shire. So the Shire Reef, or Reef of the Shire. And they turned it around over a period of time and just referred to him as the Shire Reef. And when we came to the colonies in the United States, it morphed into the word sheriff. So it has a long history in English common law, and it's an honorable one. That's why the sheriff is the highest elected official at the county level. Did you know that? The sheriff is the highest official, and he's elected in the county. And the sheriff can kick out anybody from the state or the federal government because he represents the people. He is a protector of the people. The good ones, the ones that know their true duty to we the people under the law. So when a tyrant comes from the county commissioners or from the state capitol or from the federal government, the sheriff is the line of protection. So they're shutting down travel and they're implementing martial law under a medical fake pandemic because the sheep will believe anything that comes across that tube. We are actually in the period of the mark of the beast. I was talking to one of my friends, Chris, today about that. We are in the period where the mark of the beast is right in front of your face. You know, a lot of people, I don't know if it'll see it in my lifetime, Dan. I said, well, I have a feeling you're going to see it in our lifetime. And by God, it's here, isn't it? You're in it. It's not 10 years from now. It's not 20 years from now. It's here right now. It is forming around you as we speak. So each of us is being tested. What will you do or not do? What are you willing to give up this life for? Because you remember what the scripture says. If you love your life so much that you will acquiesce and do what you know to be wrong, you've already lost your life, meaning the life here and the hereafter. Now, nobody wants to die prematurely. We're all going to die someday anyway, but nobody wants to die prematurely. However, we are never to give in to evil and wicked men, ever, under any circumstances. And the reason our countries are in trouble is because the men have become wussies and sheep and lapdogs instead of lions. That's why we're in trouble. Okay? Now, courage is contagious. So the lions out there, if you're listening, you need to know that. If you take a stand, if you do what's right, your courage can encourage other men to become men. And that's really what this is all about. Our people suffer because the men have walked off the battlefield. Our men have let the enemy run roughshod over us, and we walked off the battlefield. And each of us as an individual is in danger of not making it through the test if we cave in to what these monsters want to do to us and our family. I guess part of my reason for being stiff-necked about all this is because I've read the books that have personal eyewitness testimonies to what the communists did to the Russians and the Chinese. I've read those and I cried like a baby. I'm not embarrassed to say that because it was so gut-wrenching reading what these monsters did to people. I could kill a communist and it would not bother me ever. If I could push a button and vaporize every communist on earth, I would push it right now. They are monsters. And what they did to men, women, and children in those two countries will turn your stomachs. That's part of the problem in this country. Our people watch television instead of getting an education. Go read the books by the people like Alexander Solzhenitsyn and the people that survived the gulags and survived the purges of the Cheka and the NKVD in Russia and the communist butchers of China. Just read what they did to people. Think of that happening to the people you care about. I picture it happening to my family, and yes, it makes me angry. Angry enough to fight. Angry enough to kill. Because I'm killing an enemy that wants to hurt and harm innocent people. They deserve to die. That's the law of the Almighty. So it's both logical and it's biblical. And it's historical. The question is, when are the men going to rise up? I have no idea. All I know is what I can do for myself. And myself, I'm not going to let them do it to me. And I'm not going to let them march into my house, and I'm not going to let them take my weapons, whatever weapons they may be. I don't care if it's a shovel sitting in the corner. Or a baseball bat. If it's my weapon, it's my weapon. They have no right to it. They have no right to turn me into a defenseless man. In fact, it was the philosopher John Locke that our founding fathers often quoted. John Locke said that any man trying to disarm you is your mortal enemy. What did John Locke mean by that? Any man or group of men, even legislators, trying to disarm you, they have identified themselves as your mortal enemy. Mortal means to death. Mortal means that it's a choice between you and them. The person trying to disarm you is about to do something to you that you would shoot them for. Think about that. All right, I'm going to check the queue, see if anybody had anything they want to report, ask, or whatever. The queue is empty. All right. So, again, serious times, I would certainly recommend to everybody that you get right with our Father in Heaven. If you haven't done it in a while, you might go into that quiet place, whether it's your bedroom or a closet or a spare room somewhere. get someplace quiet and have a conversation with the Father, because he's always there. He's waiting for you. He's always in attendance, no matter where you are. And you need to have a serious conversation with your Creator, people. It's that serious, all right? If you've never taken the time to do that, you need to do that. You need to go in that quiet place and ask for forgiveness. All of us have done things that we need to be forgiven for. So don't sit there and go, well, I'm perfect. I don't need to ask for no forgiveness. Yeah, you do. Every one of us does. You ask for that forgiveness. You ask for him to wash you in the blood of the Lamb. That's a spiritual washing over you. That you accept the sacrifice that was made for you by Yeshua when he walked this earth. That you recognize the God of the Bible as your Creator, your Heavenly Father, and the issuer of your salvation, meaning your saving from physical harm. That's what those words are talking about. Because he gave you the law book. He's the lawgiver, as Isaiah tells us. And tell him you repent of not following his law, not living according to his ways, but following in man's ways. And repent of the fact that you haven't thought about your brothers and sisters, that you've focused only on your immediate family. What about the rest of our family, meaning our racial family? They're hurting. Open up your hearts for them, folks. We're all part of a family, and he's our Father. Ask him for that forgiveness and ask him for that guidance, because the Holy Spirit does speak to you, folks. If you're listening, if your body's not so polluted with junk food and caffeine and sugar and other poisons that the stores have out there, if you've taken care of your body at all, your pineal gland should work, which means you should be able to pick up the signals. He's trying to talk to you. He's trying to tell you what's happening. He's trying to give you warnings so that you don't have to be harmed. He is our rock and our refuge, as Psalm 91 says. Why in the world would you forsake him? Why in the world would you not invite him in to be part of your life? The greatest power, the greatest wisdom, and the greatest love that walks this earth is right there for each and every one of us. Why would you turn your back on that? That doesn't even make sense. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to reach and talk to our friends and family around the world. We know that this is indeed a perilous time, that we are swimming in lies and deception all around us and monstrous activities. You said that everything that's been hidden would become known at this time in the latter age. You also said the whole world would be in travail, waiting for the sons of God to be manifested. And that's exactly what we're talking about. The manifestation of the sons of God, who are his battle axe and weapons of war, to bring his judgment upon the wicked. Hallelujah. We just pray, Father, your coming would be soon, the implementation of your kingdom and its law, and the vanquishing of these wicked and evil, monstrous people, and the establishment of your law, and the bringing of the kingdom, which will restore this earth to what you intended it to be all along. We pray for all these things in the name of Yahweh, our King and our Father. Hallelujah.